Action Postgame.
Let's go.
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
All right, it's going to be a somber walk to the subway here on this Wednesday night, this Wednesday, December night in Toronto. The Maple Leafs lose in the back-to-back, 6-1 in Philly, now 3-1 on home ice to Nazem Kadri in the Colorado Avalanche, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation post-game radio on Sportsnet 590, the Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick to break it all down at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick with your thoughts on Twitter on this one. Another loss for the Maple Leafs, scored the game-winning goal, a shorthanded tuck from Val Nichushkin, his third of the year. And to me, just in a nutshell of what this season has been so far for the Maple Leafs, and the collision with Spezza and Riley at the blue line leads to the Nichushkin breakaway, and he makes no mistake, no chance for Anderson.
Yeah, there's that fine line, Nick, about just when things are going well, you're finding ways to win that are unorthodox. And when you're not, you're finding ways to lose or to fall short. And that's a great example tonight. I mean, Nick, the last two games, Philadelphia, Colorado, Leafs have only scored twice, and they've been the unconventional goals, okay? It was kind of a fluke one yesterday against Carter Hart. This one, good work by Zach Hyman putting in it, but it wasn't the, you know, razzle-dazzle goals. We saw that kind of skill being exhibited. We saw 39 shots on net. We saw a decent amount of scoring chances, but they're just not getting the goals. So 1-1, they tie it like they did yesterday against the Philadelphia Flyers. The third period starts. They take a double minor 16 seconds into it. Jake Muzzin. So all of a sudden you're going, okay, that great karma and energy is gone, and momentum, and they kill the penalties off. They did a really good job. So they kind of get it back. They get a power play, first only power play chance of the game, and you got to see it to believe it. Jason Spezza probably has a great chance to wire one on net, and everyone's pulling for Jason Spezza, and Sheldon Keefe puts him on the point on the power play. Then he breaks his stick, and then just a weird confluence of events in that he's going to the bench to get a stick, then the puck's coming towards him, so he stops, and then Morgan Riley comes over. They really get screwed up, and all of a sudden there's a breakaway going the other way. Shorthanded goal is the game winner. Again, it comes down to about sometimes not having 2D on the points on a power play, and we've seen that before bite the Leafs in the butt from time to time. Just a really, really unfortunate way, but as you say, it seems to be the sum of Jason Spezza's season. And I'm a big Jason Spezza backer, but so far with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And to me, miscommunication has plagued this team throughout the season. At times, Gord, I'm watching and I'm like, have these guys ever played together? And in this case, I get it, Jason Spezza's in year one, but I'm talking about some of the, you know, the bigger cats on this team, like Matthews and Tavares, and I get, you know, Mitch Marner returns to the lineup, but there are moments where you're like, have these guys ever played together? Like, it's still, you know, boggling my mind as to how talented this team is on paper, that they can't put things together. And they're running out of excuses too, because Mitch Marner's back. Granted, you got to give it a sample size to find out here what happens. But Andreas Janssen goes down. But all in all, the clock is ticking on this season. Granted, Gord, I get we're still early in December. You got to start winning some hockey games here.
And early on, they talked about 11 games in 21 days. So every time Mike Babcock spoke, you'd hear him going, "Well, I'm going to have a day off tomorrow, another day off, and I'm going to take it, you know, whatever." And I kept thinking, "Do you ever practice?" And now I know, you know, practices are run smarter and that, and it's not the be all end all that way. But you know, they didn't have a lot of practice time early on, and then we're sitting around with Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph just in the media room before. And the Colorado Avalanche entourage are there, and they're sitting behind us and just, you know, chatting it up. Everyone's in a good mood, and Ralphie goes, "You can tell they're winning, right?" You know, just everything about
good.
It, yep. Everything about a team when it's going well. You go to a morning skate, and just you can tell the way the guys are skating, the whole thing. Leafs have not had that all this season. You know, maybe up till the weekend, okay? Kind of had, but then that game in Buffalo on Friday put it back, and then slipped a bit, and now you got two losses again, so you never really completely captured it. You're happy Sheldon Keefe got off to a decent start. There were some positives there, but you're back to a team that has not had a solid run at all at the one-third point of this regular season.
The Maple Leafs now 4-3-0 under Sheldon Keefe, and again, it's the same old story with deficiencies across the board, especially the power play. Like, you can't script this any worse, the fact that it's, you know, the power play that lets the Leafs down. And granted, I mean, the scenario was crazy. It would never really happen again, 99 out of 100 times, where there's a collision with Spezza and Riley. Spezza breaks his stick. Nichushkin takes the puck and goes down the ice. Like, again, I just think in a microcosm what this season has been for the Maple Maple Leafs is blunders like that, things you would never even think of as really, really hurting this team. And again, when you're scoring one goal, more times than not, I don't care who your goalie is, you're not going to win many hockey games.
No, and this game's very different than yesterday. This is a much better effort by the Toronto Maple Leafs. 39 shots and so many missed opportunities that they overpassed as well. One thing really done well by Colorado, at least did a good job too. There weren't great big rebound second opportunities in that. There really weren't. Philip Grubauer played very solid. I think Freddie actually had to make a few more bigger saves than Philip Grubauer had to. But that's one thing. They weren't getting those second chances that way. They were working the puck really nicely in the offensive zone. There was a lot of great talent, offensive talent on display. It's just, you know, you got to score goals. And I know we talk, you've got to learn defensive systems, all those kinds of things. We know that, whether it's Mike Babcock, whether it's Sheldon Keefe, but you can't go away from how this team has been sculpted, and that is about offense, and that means, you know, you can't tell someone to score goals. They want to score goals. You can tell guys to play defense and be more responsibly defensively, and you can get more of an immediate result. But, you know, Auston Matthews hasn't scored a number. I mean, guys just haven't scored in a number of games. Great seeing Mitch Marner back. He did some, like, Otter Creek or whatever your local public skating rink moves out there. You know, just didn't quite put it in. But so it was there. I still think it's coming. I still believe in this team as far as making the playoffs. But right now, that's not the way they're playing.
That is Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. The Leafs falling 3-1 here at Scotiabank Arena. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Bottom line, and then producer Sam McKee and I were talking off-air, there are no moral victories. Again, a loss is a loss at this point in time. I'm with you. There's a lot of racetrack left in this season, but nobody's going to feel sorry for you, Gord. Like, you look at the upcoming schedule now, four consecutive on the road. Oh, yeah, you start with defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues on Saturday into Vancouver, a much better Canucks team. Calgary, who knows if they get boosted from Jeff Ward taking over behind the bench there. They've been pretty decent as of late. And the Edmonton Oilers, we know what McDavid and Draisaitl bring to the table.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't mind that, because look at Montreal last night, winning when you least expect it, scoring with 1 second left in the first period, beating the New York Islanders. And the Maple Leafs are not bleeding on the ice like the Montreal Canadiens were with an eight-game winless streak. So, I mean, quite often these streaks end in the oddest of places. Same with you're on a winning streak. Quite often you lose to a weaker team and vice versa. I mean, they got to go on. I'll take a lot of the game they played tonight and have to think it will result in more goals game in, game out, hoping that's the case, and then I'll take that against any of the other teams on the road.
Five of the next six, by the way, away from Scotiabank Arena, the lone home game December 17th against the Buffalo Sabres, in which they had the back-to-back this past weekend. So certainly a lot's left in this season, but as we've mentioned throughout this broadcast already, you want to get that good feeling back in the locker room. And the one word I'll use that I really have not noticed, and you know, it's been spurts in the past as well, is the urgency. You watch Colorado tonight, they look like an urgent hockey team. Like, you know, every second, every pass matters. And sometimes, again, and maybe it just speaks to the volumes of how much skill level there is on this Maple Leafs team, they seem at times lackadaisical. Are you picking up on that a tad?
Yeah, I don't know what the right word is.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean, because yesterday I couldn't believe, I said, how could Philadelphia want it more? And the Maple Leafs flat out did not want it as much as Philadelphia. I can't say that tonight. I believe the Leafs absolutely came out wanting it. But you're right. Whether it's urgency or just that Colorado, you know, I thought Sheldon Keefe had a real good remark last night. Just said that Philadelphia is a team that's found their niche right now, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are a team that really have not found their niche. And maybe that's about it tonight. That just, you know, Colorado, when they get it, they're going, they're giving it. It just comes easy. For the Maple Leafs right now, nothing comes easy.
It really is phenomenal when you look at this Maple Leafs team through almost 30 games, struggling to find their identity, which is, you know, I get it. There's been a lot of injuries. Mitch Marner comes back. Janssen goes down with a leg injury, blocking a shot tonight. We'll see on the extent of that injury. But they haven't had a full roster. But again, you can't use that excuse, because you look at a variety of teams around this league. Colorado, perfect example. The Pittsburgh Penguins, you deal with it the best you can. And, you know, the Avalanche are a perfect example. You look at Jonas Donskoy, comes over from San Jose. He is ripping it up. Andrei Burakovsky, he's hurt right now, but he stepped up large with Rantanen and Landeskog, the captain, still out, expected to come back on Thursday. You need guys to elevate their play, and at times we've seen that for the Maple Leafs, but certainly a far cry from early in this season where you saw the likes of Kerfoot and Mikheyev really step up offensively.
Yeah, and also you're noticing Tavares, I think, is playing really great two-way hockey, but you didn't bring him here to be a Selke Trophy winner.
Yeah.
And that's the void with Nazem Kadri gone, that he used to go up against the best player that way. Yeah, some of the guys, the Mikheyevs and the early starts that way, have cooled down a little. Everyone's really kind of cooled down. Well, obviously, if you get one goal a game, they have.
But they're missing that moxie, you know, like that.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You're right.
They seem to have it. Again, when you win, I guess you always think you have it. But we like, you know, I think by and large, we like the style they played in getting those wins under Sheldon Keefe. And, you know, it does not change overnight. I mean, that's why it was a drastic move to fire Mike Babcock as the head coach. It was kind of a pretty unthinkable move at the start of the season. Everyone thought it would come down to the playoffs to see about his fate would be. So it doesn't cure all ills right away. And again, the onus goes back to the players. And I will say to Austin Matthews' pointed comments after the game last night that the guys did show up tonight. Mm-hmm. And again, that next sense of urgency or that it factor, that X factor, whatever you're talking about, I think you're pinpointing quite accurately, is something they've got to figure to get. Because they've had it before. You know, they've had it before. And once if you get a couple and turn the tide, like the Minnesota Wild have, for example.
Yeah.
You know, and what the Dallas Stars did for a while. What the Winnipeg Jets have done. Oh. That's a really good comparable because the Jets don't have a great blue line like the Leafs don't have a deep blue line. They've got great young talent up front like the Leafs do, and they seem to have found a way to get on track.
The Leafs have to bear down, folks. There's no doubt about it. Their next game, of course, Saturday night at Enterprise Center against the St. Louis Blues. Mark Savard, St. Louis Blues. To some positives in this game, the new look lines. I'm over the moon at the fact that we're seeing some new combinations. What was one of the things I kept stressing in the later days of Mike Babcock? It's like, jumble up the lines, try something new. We saw that at times in this game with the likes of Marner and Matthews and Nylander and Tavares getting involved together 5-on-5. And I thought in general the Zach Hyman line was the best line for the Leafs in this game. They scored the lone goal, and that's a new combination as well in the quote-unquote third line for Toronto.
You know, part of it was Andreas Janssen blocking that shot and leaving the game, but we kind of looked, and it was like it snuck up on us saying, wow, is that Marner, Matthews, and Nylander, like all us amateur coaches have been advocating from time to time? And I like that if he's going to do that. I like that if Sheldon Keefe is going to do that from time to time. I think it's a great little X factor to put out there. Part of it was necessitated by the break.
So a 3-1 loss here for the Maple Leafs against the Colorado Avalanche at Scotiabank Arena. No points, by the way, if you had prop bets going when it comes to Nazem Kadri. He had a chance for an empty netter late. Didn't come to fruition, unfortunately, for Naz. A good nice little video tribute in this 3-1 win. And money on the board for sure. His Avalanche got the job done here. The Maple Leafs now 4-3-0 under Sheldon Keefe. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stilick. Just getting started here on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Don't go anywhere. Other side, we'll get to the Sheldon Keefe podium. We'll hear from some of the players and Chris Johnson, Sportsnet.ca and Hockey Night of Canada. Still to come here. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena, breaking down a 3-1 loss here for the Maple Leafs on home ice to the Colorado Avalanche, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leaf Nation postgame. Nick Alberga and Gord Stelic. Momentarily, we'll hear from the head coach, Sheldon Keefe, of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Still to come as well, Chris Johnston, Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada will go inside the locker room as well. But the Leafs now embarking on a 4-game trip. Here's Sheldon Keefe.
I like that our guys competed. I thought we stayed in the game all the way through it. You know, at times when they had their push, I thought we withstood it fine and then had pushes of our own. After that, obviously, really liked how our penalty kill dug in that third period and found its way through a tough task. We were set up pretty well after that, of course, getting the power play then thereafter. And, of course, don't like how that one finished. But, you know, all in all, I like the fight in our team. We just have to find ways to generate more offense.
How's
your answer? The only update is just that he was too sore to return. It's not looking like anything serious at this point, but love to get some pictures and stuff like that.
You had more or less a full lineup, obviously, until Andreas went down and you moved your lines around a fair bit. Is that something you like to do just to see if you can get things going?
Well, that's part of it, but you know, also, as you say, you lose Janssen, and it does change things quite a bit. Then, you know, we're trying to get a spark, trying to score, and trying to move things around. But, you know, I do intend on moving things around a little bit there with those top guys in particular, but probably not as much as I had to there in the third.
You mentioned how that power play ended. Jason said the game falls on him now because of the mistake that he made. I guess how frustrating is it in that moment when you're playing so well to see like that happened with the veteran?
Yeah, it's a tough play. I mean, it's you know, I'm sure he'd like to have that one back, but you know, things happen on the ice, and it's unfortunate how that one worked out. But you know, I don't think there was any ill intent there at all. Of course.
Thank you.
a big moment for your PK to be able to kill that Muzzin double win.
Yeah, obviously the first one, you know, the goal went in a hurry on us in the first time. So, you know, confidence is, you know, you're not quite there when you're going in and have to kill it at the double minor. But the guys did a terrific job all the way through it. Thought it was a big moment in the game, changed or gave us momentum, I thought. And we get the power play soon thereafter. And then, you know, we couldn't get anything really established. We had the puck early in the first power play there, or on the power play, and we shot, missed the net, and then just didn't get things going really from there. And then, you know, worst case scenario for it to end up in our net at the end of it.
What's your level of concern knowing that you're heading out on a road trip? You don't have a lot of extra bodies on hand due to the cap crunch.
I'm not concerned about the extra bodies, and we'll manage that if we need to. But we'll have enough guys to compete.
Your team doesn't get a lot of power plays lately. You think a team with this much skill and speed would be hooking and tripping calls all the time against you. Is there anything you can do about that? Like, skate faster?
It's a good question. It's one I've been asking. I know that it's not the first time for this team. I think last season there was long stretches of a very similar situation. So we've got to figure that out. But, you know, the natural thing for me is to say we got to get the puck to more dangerous areas, and we got to attack the middle of the ice a lot more. We do have to skate a little bit harder and be a little more competitive to fight through situations and things that would perhaps cause some infractions. It is a concern, and it's something we have to look at, and, you know, probably even go back to last season to look at what the situations might be and see what we can do a little bit differently to hopefully generate something. Now, we don't take a lot of penalties either. I think that in itself creates a situation where you're not going to get a lot, but certainly want to be generating more than we are.
It's a sense of urgency, Brian, just where you guys are, played well, but.
Yeah, I think it's high, and I think our play reflected that. You know, that's a very good team, rested team, sitting here waiting for us, and watching them. We played them not too long ago ourselves, but just watching even on the pre-scouts, they're feeling pretty good about themselves and scoring a lot. So it was a real challenge for us defensively today. I thought the urgency was fine, and I think that some of the adjustments we've been working at and focusing on defensively have been there for us today in particular. At times, not so much yesterday, but today, I thought we withstood a pretty potent offense, particularly with that top line for the most part. But while our attention has gone there, we've gotten away from some of the things offensively that we focused on in the early going, and I think that has caused us to revert back to some things that we don't necessarily like, so we'll have to try to fix that.
With the goaltending decision you made today, is Hutch maybe get one of the road games coming up then?
Yeah, that's something that we've talked about, that, you know, when Freddie was pushing us to play here and compete with his teammates tonight, we sort of said that would probably be one of the things that we'll have to make an adjustment on and get Hutch a game on the road here, but not sure exactly which one. We would intend on doing that, yeah.
Why did you decide to switch up the pairs?
We just thought that, you know, given the back-to-back and then given the challenge of the game today and the way that things went yesterday for us, we just thought a change would be good. We changed not just the pairs but the matchups and things, just to try to give guys some different looks. But we also just spread it out a little bit more today and shared the minutes a little bit better. So we were just trying some different things. We wanted to see what it looked like, and the challenge was great for them today. So we did want to see what it looked like. We think Hall's been really making great progress, not just in his defending, but also with how he was using his feet and his skating to move the puck up the ice, which is a big part of playing against other teams' best players. And then Muzzin has done that a great deal over his career and here in his time here. So, you know, we wanted to give that a look today, and for the most part, we liked it. We'll have to look a little bit closer just to see how everything else worked out.
How do you feel about Riley and Barry together?
I thought, again, that's something I'm going to have to look at closer. And then we tried to put them in offensive situations and get them out there with the Matthews line as much as we could. I have to look a little bit closer. I don't think we generated the type of offense we would have liked with those two guys playing together.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
All right, that's...
Safe travel.
just throwing in there.
That was Gord Stellinger, not Sheldon Keefe, but the remarks of the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe, after a 3-1 loss here at Scotiabank Arena to the Colorado Avalanche. I think that was approaching the 10-minute mark there, but had a lot to say about this one. And good things and bad things. Surely disappointed about the loss, but all in all, felt positive about the bounce back from last night's game in Philly.
Yeah, and last night in Philadelphia, he went in and talked to the team in the dressing room, which he normally doesn't do after losses, because that was unacceptable the final few minutes. This was very acceptable as far as that goes tonight. And he articulated that quite well. I know Chris Johnson will join us momentarily, but I'll tell you what another one is. Morgan Rielly's got to be hurt. Morgan Rielly's got
something's not right.
You know, because we talk about getting Mitch Marner back, and John Tavares have been out before, and about injuries and that. Morgan Rielly has missed a number of practices the last little while. They say their maintenance days, whatever. I give him a lot of credit if he's not playing at 100%. Still good to have him out there. If he is, well, I'm a little worried. He's not playing anywhere near the kind of level that he did last season.
Yeah, no, like, again, it's so easy to speculate, hey, is this guy banged up? But I think you're right. Like, you look at what Rielly put together last year, it is night and day from what we've seen so far this year. It can't drop off that significantly that you start to wonder, because, again, you're not wrong. I mean, he's missed quite a few practices early on this season, so you start to wonder. But if it continues to fester, you wonder if maybe shutting him down for whatever he's got at this point in time could be the smarter play long-term.
Yeah, we saw with Jake Gardner for a bit last year, and then he probably rushed back for the playoffs and had an ordinary playoff. Just P.K. Subban's a guy, he missed 20 games last year with Nashville, and he's not anywhere close this year with a different team to that same kind of player. So I kind of wonder that as hell, just to, you know, as we spitball and talk about a few things that are different about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hey, once again, full on Freddie Anderson. It was a smart move starting him tonight. I think, agreed upon by everybody up here. He came up with some huge saves, but again, you're not going to win many games for any goaltender scoring just one goal.
Again, and it's a reality. I mean, the Leafs don't have a backup that makes sense to play in games like this. Again, we're not harping on Michael Hutchinson. I'm sure he's a fantastic human being, but this was a pivotal game, and they went with their upper hand. Even if it was on a backup, we know the statistics behind that. And from everything my eyes witnessed tonight, it wasn't on the goaltending. Again, you're right. You score one goal, you're not winning many times in this league.
Yeah, and the alternatives right now, and I take it they're going to give Hutchinson another chance, but it's someone coming up from within and playing like James Reimer did when he came up. Or remember Martin Gerber and Corey Schwab? I mean, those are just two guys that the nondescript names.
I try not to be honest.
What do you mean? Well, they weren't horrible. Martin Gerber actually
good stopgaps. You're right.
Gerber actually played too well for them when they'd not made playoffs and that, and it cost them some draft spots. So I just meant those are the kind of moves you do that can get decent enough backup goaltending. Here we are again, Nick. Like, what are we going to say every back-to-back game now? The Leafs might as well just take a pass on it or something.
Probably yes.
Like, you know, because they're.
I have numbers for that, by the way.
Okay.
Courtesy of Sportsnet Stats, we know just do a tremendous job, and that continues. We'll play. It's a little teaser. We'll have that coming up. We bring in Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. What'd you think of this one tonight, Chris? Thanks for joining us.
Well, it was a track meet. It was a lot of high-end skill on the ice and, pretty fast-paced game that the Leafs, obviously had a chance to win, being tied and then on a power play in the third period. That was a great opportunity for them to get a win in a tough situation against, one of the NHL's best, and they fell a little bit short. I think it's interesting that they switched their goaltending plan. I don't know that I fully understand it. I mean, I understand what they're trying to get at. By no means do I think they would have won that game with Michael Hutchinson, but they're in a really tough spot right now with where they sit in the standings. They actually have fewer points than they had through 30 games in any of the last three seasons, and so they're in a playoff race, and they already are at game 30 and not trusting the backup to play. I think it's going to be a really tough stretch here unless they are able to bring in another goaltender to give Freddie Anderson more nights off.
We're just discussing one other element, and you never want to ask a player that, but just from observing, he's missed a lot of practices as well for maintenance days. Morgan Rielly, is he not 100%?
Oh, he's definitely not 100%. I don't know what percentage he's at, but my understanding is he's been injured all year long. He hasn't missed practice as much lately. There was a stretch call it 3-4 weeks ago, where he was basically missing every practice for a week or two there. But, you know, he's been a regular participant the last little while. So, you know, I would have to infer that he's getting closer to 100% nowadays. But, you know, he certainly has not been completely fresh, completely healthy this season. It's just, you know, been something he's been dealing with right from the get-go.
With Chris Johnson, the Maple Leafs falling 3-1 here at Scotiabank Arena to the Colorado Avalanche. What do you think of Mitch Marner? It's sort of amazing that this year, in a nutshell, for the Maple Leafs, you get Marner back, but then you lose Andreas Janssen. But what do you think of the overall game of Marner and his return after missing 11?
Well, he had some bursts there. You know, I think he was maybe a little more impactful than I would have guessed. You know, I didn't have high hopes for him just because, you know, it wasn't even the full 4-week period that they expected him to be out. And so, you know, I kind of assumed he's pushing the limits to get back in and play. You know, high ankle sprain is a pretty serious injury in terms of getting your comfort back and you know, being as mobile as he can be. I mean, his skating is such a positive part of his game that, you know, I thought that would be a challenge. But, you know, I thought he played pretty well and, you know, like seeing a couple shifts there where he was out with Matthews and Nylander. And, you know, certainly that's part of what we'll get used to with Sheldon Keefe now running the show here, that I think you're going to see a lot more of these guys together, especially in situations where they're chasing offense. And, you know, that should be pretty exciting as we go forward.
Yeah, and we echo the sentiment compared to talking, you know, last night. Way more positives in tonight's game. We also, since they short-term, went with Freddie back-to-back, which I liked. What do you think the plan is on Saturday? And do you think Michael Hutchinson ever starts another game? And I'm saying, like, you know, some people are talking big trades out there. I'm just looking at what James Reimer did when he came up from the minors, or a Corey Schwab acquisition, or a Martin Gerber-type thing that was able to be a stopgap. Do you think that is something that's really on the front burner?
Well, I think it should be. You know, the problem is they don't have the money to do it. And there's only one or two guys probably in the entire league that, without removing a roster player that they could acquire, that would make sense to go out and acquire. And obviously, given their circumstances, the GMs that hold those players aren't in a giving mood in terms of making those trades. And so, you know, I don't know what the plan is. You know, Sheldon Keefe said post-game that with the 4-game road trip next week, that there's, you know, a chance that we'll see Michael Hutchinson get one of those games just as the offset of this. But, you know, I do think that they have to try to find a delicate balance here of, you know, making sure that Frederik Andersen gets the rest he needs and, you know, also that they get some wins. I mean, the Leafs they're in a dogfight to make the playoffs. I mean, I think it's that simple. It's, you know, it's that kind of league where, you know, when you dig the hole they have at this point, it's going to be a struggle. And that's why I think they need someone they can trust. I mean, clearly, and I'm not suggesting they should trust much at Michael Hutchinson. He hasn't won a game for them. He's been part of squandering a couple multi-goal leads so far. You know, I don't really know where they go from here, but I do think that they have to prioritize getting someone in who can see Andersen get some rest, because, you know, I think he's been their most valuable player. I thought he played his heart out tonight. You know, it's not an issue or anything like that, but, you know, the numbers bear it out that, you know, goaltenders need more rest than they ever did to be at their best. And you know, Frederik Andersen, as good as he is, I don't think there's any reason to think, you know, he's going to be the one outlier that can play 68 games and still be one of the best in the league. I don't think that's possible in today's game.
You're always bang on the money. The Maple Leafs now embark on a 4-game road trip. Appreciate your time here, CJ.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, there you have it. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet.ca, Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. The Maple Leafs falling 3-1 here to the Colorado Avalanche at Scotiabank Arena. I mentioned it, 5 of the next 6 now away from Scotiabank Arena. Need to start piling up some points, even though here we're in the month of December. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick on Twitter, at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. Plenty to come here from Scotiabank Arena. We'll go inside the locker room. Perhaps we even hear from Nazem Kadri, who made his return now as a member of the Colorado Avalanche. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Welcome back to Scotiabank Arena, breaking down a 3-1 loss to the Maple Leafs here on home ice against the Colorado Avalanche. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. It's time for the VTech call of the game. Win the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call. Call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize. To qualify for the grand prize, visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Spezza again, winding and shooting, and the stick disintegrates, and it's played to the line, just kept in by Riley, but stolen now. Here's a chance for Nikushkin. He's in on a breakaway and scores! Jason Spezza broke his stick and then got tangled up with Morgan Riley trying to kick the puck in right at the blue line. The turnover, the breakaway, the shorthanded goal, 2-1. Colorado.
You heard by the call there from the great Joe Bowen how fluky it was to lead to that shorthanded goal by the stymied Val Nichushkin for the last 4 years. His third goal in the last 4 years in the NHL. We're not kidding on that stat, but a big-time pivotal one. And certainly Spezza and Riley bumping into each other at the blue line leads to that breakaway, all because of that damn broken stick.
No, exactly, Spezza. And it's kind of thing, and Sheldon Keefe said, obviously, Jason Spezza, you could see him when he got a stick just slamming against the boards. I mean, here he gets a chance to play back-to-back games. He's on the power play, and it's one of those things, but both guys have to be accountable, both Riley and Spezza, in that I understand you're on the power play, so you're trying to make a play, keep possession, do things, but you've got to be cognizant of the peril you're in. And by not just getting the puck a little bit out of danger, you set up that, I mean, clean club breakaway from the Colorado blue line in. So just an unfortunate play, but not a heads-up play.
You're right, and certainly I think looking at the game story from this one as we hear some of the post-game filtering in here is the fact that, here.
Gave the hook, yeah.
I did give the hook. Thank you for reminding me, Steve Fellin, the guru himself at Sportsnet Stats. The Leafs now, the back-to-back numbers, they're not pretty, Gord. 1-6-1.
Ouch.
20 goals for, 34 against, a save percentage of .880, and a PK of 72%.
So this is on the second game. They've had eight games back-to-back,
yes.
And this is on the second game.
Of back-to-backs.
Of back-to-back.
Granted, again, we didn't see the backup per se play tonight. Frederik Andersen was solid, faced 30 shots, surrendered, 27?
I know, but that's including goals, those stats. That elevated those stats a little bit.
Yeah. It's they aren't pretty numbers, certainly, I think, when you look at Leafsland, and a big reason why Toronto is fighting for playoff positioning, although we thought they'd be firmly in a playoff spot by this juncture in the season. But again, Gord, we've talked about this a lot. Every team deals with adversity. What was the one thing about Tampa last year, right? They never dealt with adversity. They get to the playoffs, their first dose of adversity, and you're finished. Four games, have a nice spring. So I'd rather this happen now for the Maple Leafs. I get it. People out there already saying, are they going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs? Deep in my heart, I still feel they will. There's just too much talent, too much skill on this roster. They're bound to figure it out. But again, the urgency has to pick up over the next couple of weeks leading into Christmas.
Oh, I've trumpeted the same thing as you, Nick. I still do believe they'll make the playoffs. But there always are a couple of real angry teams not to be in the playoffs. And I didn't think the Toronto Maple Leafs were going to be one of those. So that certainly is the case that way, if it's going to come to that. But there is a lot of runway to come. And again, the cap situation is tough, getting a backup goaltender. So the onus, even though you can say it's unfair, the onus is to put it on those elite players more, because they're eating up so much of the salary cap that there's no flexibility. They don't have the flexibility that they have took a look at, say, with Boston to get Halak and Tuukka Rask, that kind of tandem. So that's the whammy of being hard up and really hard up against the salary cap.
And again, when you look at this Maple Leafs team, nobody's going to feel bad for you. You got to move on. And certainly the four-game road trip upcoming, starting Saturday night, Gord, against the St. Louis Blues Enterprise Center. We don't have to build them much more. Jordan Binnington's been outstanding again. They're, 13-4-3, because they are en route to losing tonight in Pittsburgh. Your guy Teddy Bluger kicked off the scoring in the first minute of play for the Pens. But all in all, I mean, that team has not skipped a beat, and the defending Stanley Cup champions for a reason.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Our buddy Mark Savard, but of course they were solid without Mark, with all due respect. They just turned it around.
I think that was shade by Gord Stellick,
last year, and they haven't stopped them in Boston. It's remarkable. That was one of the better games. They lost 3-2 to St. Louis. Toronto did here, and that was one of the better games. And you know, like I said, it's people look at that, and it's like they're going to struggle or lose or whatever or that thing. Okay. We'll take what you got over there. We're just writing notes down about who's available.
What does that read?
It says Kadri.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that.
Okay.
We're trying to compare writing. Okay, we're going to get to the captain right now. Go down to the locker room. Here is John Tavares of the Maple Leafs.
John, did you like the efforts of the group tonight for the most part?
Yeah, I thought overall we competed extremely hard and gave ourselves a good chance to win. We obviously just didn't able to get a couple by him. We had a lot of good looks in the third, and unfortunately we gave the one up that put us behind. So just got to stay with it, and the effort tonight and the way we responded was a real positive, and got to bounce back and get some results heading into this weekend, and then a road trip out west.
What did you make of Freddie wanting to start the game, and then how he played tonight?
Well, he's a real leader for us, and he's one of the best in the league. No question, his determination, I think his confidence, I think he sets a real tone for us and backbone of our group. So, played great, gave us a great chance to win. It's too bad we didn't reward him.
Goes through your mind when that happens with Spezza there at the blue line on the go-ahead goal for Colorado?
Yeah, it's a tough break. We're doing a lot of good things, and unfortunately, just a weird play, stick break, and led to a good opportunity for them.
John, given how tough the game for Philadelphia was, the ending, seemed like you guys really wanted this game. At what point do you guys need results to really start feeling better about yourself?
I think immediately. I think, we continue to find some good things, get some things going, and then we haven't been able to sustain it for longer periods than we have, and we're going to need that. So obviously we got to find a way to get some of these games and get some leads in the third, and continue to build from there. I think there's been a lot of good things over the last couple of weeks. We just obviously got to find a way to keep it there and keep finding ways to get better. I mean, we're still in a lot of ways we keep figuring things out and a work in progress, but no question we need results.
You had the Johnsson injury and also Mitch coming back, so you did get a look at some different forward combinations tonight.
I think, especially obviously when we got down trying to find a goal, and we got obviously a lot of talent, a lot of depth, so when that happens, keeper trying to find a good solution, find something that works to get us on the board. So unfortunately we just didn't break through.
I think Sheldon's dealing with this first bit of adversity for the group.
I think he's been great. I think the message he sent for us today, I think first starting after the game last night and then coming into tonight was great. So we just didn't get the result. I think we were right there, and we got to find a way to get it done as a group, as the guys on the ice. So obviously disappointing, but we'll just regroup and get ready for a big one on the weekend.
The captain, John Tavares, after this 3-1 loss at Scotiabank Arena against the Colorado Avalanche. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Gold Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along via Twitter. Other side, we'll hear from Mitch Marner. We'll wrap things up. We'll have a look around the NHL as well on this Wednesday. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. All right, welcome back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers here at Scotiabank Arena. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick wrapping things up. The Maple Leafs falling 3-1 to the Colorado Avalanche in the return for Nazem Kadri and Callie Rosen, and also the return of Mitch Marner after missing 11 games with a high ankle sprain. Returns to the Leafs lineup, and you look at the numbers for Marner, a -1 in this game, played 22:53, and quite frankly, he looked like Mitch Marner, which is positive news, Gord.
I really did. He had some real razzle-dazzle, those exciting plays. I like it. I mean, I like the way this team can play when they get results, and I'm hoping that whether it's Matthews, Nylander, but also Marner just being back, some of those goals, I can't wait for them to go in.
That is the key word right there, is results. There are no moral victories in the Maple Leafs, of course, now falling to 4-3-0 under Sheldon Keefe. We're going to hear now from the man who returned tonight, Mitch Marner.
That was good. It felt nice to be back with the guys and be back on the ice with them. Not the outcome we wanted, but I thought we competed well tonight.
Like the conditioning work that you did paid off,
with
just being able to be where you wanted to be in the first game?
Yeah. There wasn't many times out there that I felt like I was out of breath or felt like I couldn't go right away again. So I really focused on trying to just keep my conditioning up and make sure that I was getting ready when I came back, and felt that you know, I was tonight.
Did you surprise even yourself? Did you surprise even yourself that you got back there?
I mean, our training staff's great here. We make sure everything is done right and done correct. So every day we were doing little things to just try and make sure it got better and better. And kind of just the last week or so, I felt really good on the ice and really good in the gym. So we practiced on Monday, saw how it felt, practiced on Tuesday by myself, and you know, realized that it was good enough to go tonight.
How did it feel? Were you thinking about it at all out there, or was it sort of business as usual?
No, I didn't feel it at all. Business as usual. Like I said, I thought our team had good compete tonight. I thought the guys really battled on that back-to-back, and let the outcome we wanted, but I think we're going in the right direction.
Despite the loss, do you feel you had a look at some of the different forward lines you guys could throw out there?
Yeah, I think we know anyone can play with anyone on this team. Everyone's deadly with the puck. Everyone can make plays. So I don't think it matters who you're on the ice with. It's just, I think, the amount of chemistry you have with that person. But I think with our team, it comes pretty quick. We got a lot of skilled guys and that can make plays. Like I said, it's just that attention to detail down low in our own zone and make sure we're doing things right.
Freddie's a soft-spoken guy in front of us, but what does it say about him that he wants to get back out there with you guys on a back-to-back and battle?
Yeah, I mean, he's a warrior for our team. He does a lot. He keeps us in a lot of the nights, especially this year. We haven't been great in front of him most nights, and he's the reason we won a lot of games. So I meant a lot to hear this morning when I was talking to him that he was going back in there, and that's the kind of guy he is. He wants to compete with his team. He wants to be a warrior, and like I said, it's a crappy outcome. I thought we played well. We just got to make sure we keep building and getting better.
Big for your PK tonight, the double minor to Muzzin you guys were able to kill off?
Yeah, it's a big kill for our team. I thought we did everything right. We weren't giving up scenes. We were pressuring like we can with our speed and not giving them a whole lot of option.
Mitch, what are you guys going to do to get more power plays?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's not really up to us. I feel like we're moving our feet a lot. We're a skilled team. We're fast. We have the puck a lot and making plays. And it's hard to kind of answer that. I mean, got to just leave it up to the refs, I guess, and let them decide if they think it's penalty or not. I think, you know, the first and second, they kind of let some things go and let us play. But hopefully next game we can get a couple.
All right, there you have it, Mitch Marner. From there, we're going to roll on to the man of the hour, the return to Toronto for Nazem Kadri postgame with Sportsnet's Sean McKenzie.
Well, Nazem, I'm sure an emotional night for you is an emotional night for your family. We saw in the crowd during that tribute just what was going through your mind there when they threw that up on the Jumbotron and you're watching it.
Yeah, I mean, you said it, just emotional. Obviously, I spent some significant time here, significant part of my life. So, you know, forever grateful and thankful for the fans for accepting me.
Played the Leafs now twice. You've been back here at Scotiabank Arena. Do you feel like this maybe just kind of turned the chapter a little bit on the trade in your time here in Toronto?
I think so. You know, hopefully we can do that. I'm glad, it was kind of earlier in the season rather than later. That way I could just focus on the future.
I'm sure getting traded is always difficult and unique, but when you come to a team like this, just how excited do you get about the opportunity that this group has, especially with the way you guys have played lately?
Well, it's the best. I mean, I had, some important decisions to make in the summertime, and, you know, this just makes me feel like I made the right one. So, like I said, you know, I've been raving about my teammates and the staff, you know, for a few months now, but, you know, they deserve it.
Nazem, as always, thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, Sean.
All right, there you have it, number 91 for the Avalanche, Nazem Kadri making his return to the Colorado, and that concludes the season series with these two teams.
Yeah, you know, I like the line Lou Lamoriello said, I'd like to share a foxhole with Nazem Kadri. Remember that? Like, they basically rehabilitated him being a part of this toxic environment at one point. He became an exemplary player on and off the ice. He really wanted to stay here. He vetoed a trade to Calgary, which was within his rights. He didn't have Colorado on the no trade, so went. And lots of pictures of his proud parents, first time here, wearing opposing team jerseys.
He loved being a Maple Leaf. There's no doubt about that, Gord. Your final thoughts, the Maple Leafs dropping a 4-3-0 under Sheldon Keefe in his era. Back-to-back games, they've scored just one goal and get set for a four-game road trip starting on Saturday night. And join us for Leafs Nation postgame. The Leafs into St. Louis take on the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Well, it's kind of thing you got to keep perspective, but also you got to be worried. And this is the kind you got to score some goals. And the effort tonight, you'll get goals. The effort last night against Philadelphia, you won't. So acceptable tonight. Philip Grubauer played great, and I'll take this hockey every night. And if they get a win or two, it'll start coming easily, because right now it's coming easily for the Colorado Avalanche. They're still pressing for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And again, the Maple Leafs, just the blues continue in terms of the back-to-backs and the second of the back-to-backs. Now 1-6-1 on this season, but onwards and upwards we go to Saturday night. Again, join us for Leafs Nation post-game. Following that one, it's the Blues hosting your Toronto Maple Leafs, trying to get back on track. Game one of a four-game road trip. Once again, the final here from Scotiabank Arena. Colorado 3, Maple Leafs 1. For Gord Stelick, I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks to Mark Boffo, Sam McKee, Vic Paladian, and Andrew Holland. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. And also, many thanks to our GTA Acura retailers.